a dusty black coat with his red right hand. And Don Bachata took a red right hand. I love that Nick Cave's Red Right Hand, the song, it makes an appearance in all six movies. I don't remember clocking it in four, but I'm sure it's there, and I just didn't take note. But I love that that's a through line of all of these movies. That's right. Wow, wow, wow. Bring, bring, bring. What's your favorite scary movie? We're talking about Scream today, folks. The fucking slasher, the meta slasher whodunit series that just keeps on going. Interesting spacing, right? We're talking started off in 96, immediate smash hit, pop culture phenomenon, very popular movie. Both critically and commercially. And then we get an immediate sequel the following year. Then they take a couple years off. Scream 3 comes out in 2000. And then they swear they're done. They capped it at the trilogy. And they wait 11 more years to release Scream 4. And that was Wes Craven. And then what happens? They wait another 11 years. And we get Scream. The awkwardly titled Scream, which is the requel, the franchise legacy sequel that is really just Scream 5, right? But they just called it Scream. And then the following year, Scream 6 comes out, and it's having a smashing box office success. It's opening weekend. And so I'm sure that we are going to get Scream 7 and maybe beyond. If they, you know, we have a new cast of characters, and we still have some legacy characters hanging around, so... You know, keep changing up the setting, and I think this is a franchise that could live on for a while. I rewatched all of I've always held the Scream franchise pretty close. I've never claimed it as a favorite or anything, but I've always been a great appreciator of the franchise. I saw it way too young. I went on a horror movie kick way too young. My mom loved the Halloween movies, the Michael Myers movies, and so she showed me those way too young, and I forget exactly how old I was. I was less than 10 for sure. We're talking, yeah, because I remember age, yeah, we're talking 98, 90, I mean, I was, yeah, 6, maybe 7 years old. Holy shit. And yeah, I loved horror movies. All through throughout being a youngster there, I devoured all of the VHS era horror movies, and have maintained a pretty healthy diet of them. You know, I avoid what surface level seems to be cheese dicky, formulaic nonsense. You know, I don't like all horror movies. I'm not an outright genre fanatic, but I'm a big fan of the subgenre of slashers. I think that they're just fun. And Scream movies are unique in the fact that they are slashers. They are serious horror movies. But at the same time, they're sort of walking that nice edge of being comedies, meta-textual commentaries on the genre and the subgenre at large. They break in the fourth wall and talking about real-life horror movies and the rules of them and the people who make them and people that star in them. And that is what's sort of fascinating about the franchise now running, this series being, you know, 25, 26 years old, because it, you know, it starts off talking about one series of movies and what's going on in the culture at that time, and then you sort of watch it evolve, and they can comment about different things along the way, and the killer's motives are different, you know, due to the times and the culture at that time. And so doing a rapid fire sort of rewatch, my girlfriend had never seen them, and so I showed her the first one. And, you know, there was enough fun and intrigue there that she wanted to watch. She was down for the deep dive on all of them before we went and saw the new one. So I revisited all of them this last week, and they still all hold up and are very fun and enjoyable flicks. The first one is sort of an all-timer classic, one of the great cinematic twists, some of the great movie psychos. I mean, fucking Matthew Lillard. I just love that performance as Stu Mocker. He is such a Looney Tunes fucking... I also, one of my favorite things on the whole about Ghostface is the slapstick nature of him. It's especially apparent in the first one. He is like, they're falling all over the place. They're wackadoo Looney Tunes, like tripping and falling and sliding and, you know, just clumsy, outright clumsy killers. And that's something that has ran through the series as a whole. It was something I missed a little in this most recent installment in Scream 6. This killer was, like, efficient and savage and didn't really slip up. I like it when they make mistakes. I also like... fucking Dewey, dude. Dewey, I laughed. One of the hardest I laughed on this whole rewatch was in Scream 3. Dewey has three different falls. He biffs it down a hill. And there's just it's always funny to me when someone loses a step and falls down a hill and you just get a shot of them like tumbling. Fucking Dewey biffs it down this hill, bombs it, and then fucking goes to shoot and fucking loses his footing again and falls down the hill again. And then later in the movie, he biffs it down a fucking set of stairs, and that's always funny. But I remember watching this movie as a kid, and I was like, I want to be Randy. I want to be the guy that, which in retrospect, watching it now as an adult, I'm like, okay, that's a sad sentiment, because Randy's like a fucking loser. But I guess that's kind of me, you know, and we do share some sensibilities. But I always wanted to be the guy that was the smartest about movies in the room and would break down the rules and the facts to people. And I wanted to work at the video store when that was still a thing. You know, growing up, I was always like, I would love to work at a rent shop, at a Blockbuster type, a Hastings type, you know, a video store of some sort, and just have fucking encyclopedic knowledge of all movies and actors and directors and stuff, and just be able to point people, you know, just talk movies all day, basically live in that environment and have fun debates and arguments and lists and just talking to customers, getting, you know, just talking movies all day and living and breathing in that space. Sadly, those aren't a thing anymore. And I don't know that I would be happy working like a retail gig anyway, but just sort of idyllically, that's my dream, is to just talk about movies all day, you know, with people. And the original holds up in many regards. The cast is uniformly outstanding. I've never been a big Courtney Cox guy. I've always just found her a little annoying, a little off-putting. I've never been attracted to her. With that being said, you know, Gail Weathers is an interesting character, and Courtney Cox is a competent actress. I don't mean to bash on her. She's never been my gal, you know? And I've been like, I wouldn't be sad if Gail got, you know, caught the knife. Oh, fuck. That sounds vicious when you say it that way, caught the knife. But, yeah, and her and fucking goofy-ass David Arquette, Dewey, their whole thing, I love... Love Neve Campbell. It's kind of weird that she never, like, did any, you know, did much else. Like, I know she did, like, The Craft and Wild Things, and she had a couple hits there at the tail end of the 90s and early 2000s, but she really doesn't do much these days. I guess I have an IMDb beater. Maybe she's, like, she probably works on, like, in TV, some fucking network show that I have no idea because I haven't had cable for a decade. She's probably on some fucking CBS procedural or something. Or she just makes bank off the residuals of these and she hasn't had to work and she's just living a happy life. Who knows? Either way, though, I'll always, you know, be fond of her, and I love this character of Sydney Prescott and her journey. I love these movies, how it's a fresh restart. Even though the killer is always going to be donning the Ghostface getup, it's a different killer every movie, and so you're not just watching an outright slasher where some supernatural being, unstoppable killing machine is after them. it's a human, and it's gonna be someone that you're introduced to. So I like playing the guessing game, spotting clues and stuff, and then, you know, obviously they got to subvert it. There's going to be some red herrings that are meant to divert your attention, and they're going to pull the rug out from under you. You want it to feel surprising and like a revelation who the killer is. So it's fun in that aspect. It's a mystery. It's a whodunit. And so these movies are one of a kind in that way. First one, all-timer, classic, great, no notes, 10 out of 10 for the most part. Scream 2 was a blast. It's a shame to see Randy go, but I like the college setting. I like a good unhinged couple of killers. On the whole, might be, I don't know, maybe it's my least favorite out of the whole gang. As enjoyable as, and that's like, the thing is, there's no bad ones. Scream 2 is very watchable. It's good to great at times, but just in terms of enjoyment that I get out of it, maybe that's the one I'd revisit the least. I am a big defender of Scream 3. I love it. I love the Hollywood angle. They're able to do so much fun meta stuff there. Like, the fucking balls on Wes Craven to make a sort of scathing indictment. This, you know, his commentary about skeezy producers and fucking Hollywood elite rapists that take advantage of girls, chew them up, spit them out, on a movie that Harvey fucking Weinstein produced and was a part of. You know, it's pretty cool that Wes did that. And also, yeah, oddly, it's weird to just view it now through that context. But, oh fuck, I gotta stand up. My leg is killing me. Okay. And I love the whole setup of how they're filming the stab movies, and so there's that angle of them, every character hanging out with their doppelganger and having that extra edge to it. I love all of the Hollywood jokes about movie production and behind the scenes stuff. The killer reveal of it being Roman, not known older brother that Maureen dumped there, and that whole angle, and he framed Cotton and actually psyched up Billy and Stu to do the original killings. And it's a good happy ending for Sid, right? For as long as it lasted until Scream 4, and has some funny kills, and is also a funny, you can also like look at these movies as funny time capsules as to who the opening credits kills are, because you know that it's going to start with someone who's going to die immediately. And the phone, you know, classic phone call scene. So it's, yeah. And so I had rewatched Scream 1, 2, and 3 so many times on VHS and eventually DVD and cable, you know, like, I had seen those so much growing up, and I don't remember having any excitement or anticipation. I think in 2011, I wasn't really that locked into the world of movies and new releases and stuff. So Scream 4, I don't remember having any excitement for. I didn't see it in the theater. I don't even remember prioritizing watching it at home or anything. I think I caught it on like one of the, you know, like HBO or Showtime or something once. After it came out, and I didn't remember a whole lot of it, except for the end, the Jill twist, I remembered. But rewatching that, I was surprised at how much I really, really loved it. Loved the beginning, the triple fake out. That got, I enjoyed seeing my girlfriend's reaction to that, because it starts off and you're almost a little nervous, because these girls are like bad actors, and so if you don't know that it's intentional and that it's going to be a movie within a movie within a movie, then you're, yeah, immediately I'm like, okay, this is how it's, you know, you'd get a little nervous, like, oh, this is cheesy, this is corny, these girls are bad, but it's intentional, and then the kills are over the top, intentional on purpose. It pulls out nice fake out. And you see Anna Paquin and Kristen Bell. So you're like, oh, these are our real girls. This is where the movie starts. That was a fun little psych out. that goes down, and then you're like, wait, oh, what the fuck? This is a weird twist. No, we were in another movie. Double fake out. And then you get an extended sequence of real cat and mouse, the call, the classic kill suspense opening. And I was going to laugh so hard if, after all of that, they really drag out the third one so that you're convinced it's the real one, and then they pull out and it's a third fucking fake out. That would be so funny. But no. And Scream 4, since it, you know, it has the benefit of having 11 years of a gap in between, and so there's that much more horror film history to talk about. There's that much more cultural. By this point, the internet is a big thing, and so Wes is talking a lot about that. The new technology that Ghostface would be using, and in general, how the internet has changed the teenage landscape, the film horror landscape, and there's been enough time for retrospection on the original. You know, he's commenting on his movies within the movies, like Stab, the original Stab trilogy, aka the original Scream trilogy. And so it's like a meta way of saying what those movies meant to people, and then now there's a generation of kids that have grown up on them, and what is their freakish devotion to them, or lack of, or just they don't care, they suck. All in all, Scream 4 is pretty enjoyable. There's some good kills. I like the twists. I actually really enjoyed it on this go around. There's a lot to dig into there. And I saw Scream 5 last year. I was just killing some time, had some time to kill, and just noticed it was playing while I was up in the Springs, and got a ticket, went and saw it in the D-Box. You know, the seats that fucking like thrash you around and stuff that coincide with the movie. Very fun way to see that. I was alone in one of their larger auditoriums at this location. I was in a D-Box, and then I thought I was alone up until the movie started and a black family walked in and sat, you know, a couple rows behind me. And we're talking and commenting, but it's like one of the only times that that's never made me mad. It was like funny. Like, you know, usually it's some fucking annoying white 20-something douchebag or some boomer fucking asshole that like thinks he's funny and is like mocking the movie, or some fucking teenage girls talking, or I guess it can be all ranges of people, but usually it's some asshole and you're like, fucking shut up, you're not the only people in this theater, you bitch, I just want to fucking choke you. But this black family was like, oh no girl, run, don't fuck, like they were doing like the cliche fucking smart black audience member, you know, armchair quarterbacking the situation. And it was actually enjoyable and fun because these movies aren't very serious, you know, so I was like having a good time laughing. I was high as a kite, and it's immediately when the killer starts running and the seat thrashes you around while the character's getting thrashed, or it was just a fun experience. And I was pleasantly surprised with how fresh it felt. And, you know, we got the returning characters and all of that, but I like all of the new people. Jenna Ortega is dynamite, obviously. And Melissa Barrera as Sam, far out. I like the fresh new direction. My favorite new character is probably Mindy, who is Randy's niece. Randy has a niece and nephew. His sister makes a little cameo and introduces the two new kids who are Randy's niece and nephew. And Mindy is essentially this generation's Randy. Film expert, fucking super cool, nonchalant, stoner, lesbian type. That's just fucking sassy and smart as hell and sharp. And I love her breaking down the rules in Scream 5 and 6. Her monologues breaking down the new rules are fantastic. And I just love that character. The kills have been good in part 5 and 6, getting vicious, getting creative, you know, modern, between what they're able to jazz up with CGI and just how good practical effects and stunt work has gotten. They are visceral and bloody. There's some harrowing kills in there. I like the updating of killers' motives in both 5 and 6, right? And I like how they are tying everything together with everything with toxic fandom and fucking Reddit trolls, fanboys that take shit way too seriously and religiously. And I like how they are dealing with they're showing the new characters and developing them, but also, you know, being respectful of the legacy characters. Oof, but Dewey got caught. Dewey got caught slipping. It was probably the Harrison Ford thing where he's like, yeah, I'll come back 11 years later. If you just kill me in this one, I don't want to have to do another one of these fucking movies. Just kill me. He got iced, but it was his fuck up. You know, he should have fucking dumped the clip, and whoever he should know that the killers are wearing a vest by this point. Put a couple in the chest to knock them back, and then put 2 in the head to be safe, Dewey. What are you fucking thinking? You can still ID them. Don't take a chance. But I think that the franchise is in good hands moving forward. This team of writers and directors are quite sharp and talented, and I mean, that was a quick turnaround. Scream came out in January of last year, and here we are, releasing Scream 3, or Scream 3, releasing Scream 6 in just over a year later, you know? Scheduled, shot, edited, and released, and on point. And that quick turnaround had me a little worried, but after watching Scream 6, I can confidently say it was a blast and worth your time in the theater. Fucking, the Scream franchise rules, and honestly, as long as it's staying fresh and fun and there's no stinkers, they'll always have a ticket buyer in me and an enthusiast in me, so I say keep it going. In this one, Mindy breaks down that we're no longer in sequel turf or trilogy turf. We are now a franchise. And she breaks down the rules of a franchise in a great little monologue. And you know what? There's stakes now after some development. You know, I care for all of these characters. And let's get a new, you know, Scream 7, bring it on, baby. Let's get a new setting. Bring in some new characters who I can guess who the killer is. Some of them are going to get iced. Twists and turns, betrayals, reveals, a third act where we kill the killers. Come on. And then all the while commenting on whatever new horror phenomenon is going on now in the world. I love the Scream movies. If you haven't seen them, why did you just listen to a full, like, spoilery podcast about them? But check them out. They're fun. I think even if you've had it spoiled for you, even though that is part of the appeal, as much as I enjoy rewatching them, there's something to that brand new first time. Who is it? Who's it going to be? What's going to happen? That excitement. After rewatching the 5 that I had already seen, I was very excited to watch 6. That whole day, I'm like, oh, nice. What's going to happen? Who is it? But with that being said, they're also infinitely rewatchable. They're fun movies. And I have a blast with them. I will... since I just rewatched them, it's going to be a while, you know, but I think that they're great. They're it's a great franchise now. I like all the installments of the Scream movies, and honestly, long live the Scream movies. I hope that they're able to work out the contract and the pay issues with Neve Campbell, and I hope that she can come back for part 7. And, you know, if not, I like this new series of characters. Let's keep the ball rolling. Hayden Panettiere, by the way, what a Phoenix. She is so unspeakably hot. I loved her in Scream 4, but Scream 5, she shows up with this particular haircut, almost a Karen-type haircut. This black leather jacket and a choker necklace, like she's an FBI agent, a sexy FBI agent. Just her little face. I'm like, you're a snack and a half, girl. You're a fucking full meal. I just love you. No, but the Scream movies are great, gang. If it's been a while, fucking throw them on. Even as much as I had rewatched the original trilogy to the point where I pretty much had to memorize, I still there was still stuff that caught me off guard, or that this time as an adult, just knowing what I know now, there was jokes that I didn't get, or there was references that I understood better, or I felt differently about something because I'm at this stage in my life as opposed to that, These movies are wicked awesome, and there's some bulletproof installments that are all-timers that you should fill in. If you got any cinematic blind spots, fill them in, I say. That is about gonna do it. I know this is kind of disappointing, probably. I didn't go as in depth. I'm just fucking in pain, gang, and I'm tired of like getting up and sitting down and getting up and sitting down, and I can't get comfortable, and my leg fucking hurts today, so I can't focus as much, and I'm not gonna go as deep as I want. I'm just distracted. My mind's not in the game, so I'm sorry. This is only like a half hour or less, but I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you enjoy the Scream movies. Go see Scream 6 in theaters. The rest are all on Paramount Plus. If you don't have that, get a free trial and watch them all, and then cancel it. That's what's up. And while you have Paramount Plus, watch Babylon, because it fucking owns Bones. One of the best movies of last year. Just a force to be reckoned with. I absolutely love Babylon. Take it easy out there, gang. Take it sleazy, you fucking dirt balls. I love you to death. And I will be talking to you again real soon, all right? Stay safe, stay beautiful, you fucking fuckers. Fuck, Jesus. You disrespectful little shits. I love you. I'll be coming at you again real soon, all right? We're gonna keep this train going. Infinite, the infinite boundless gaze, the fucking big time, baby. Keep watching cool shit, gang. I love you. Talk to you later. Wow.